Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 22. We are recording on Wednesday, 30 November, back after a short break, but with the draft over the last two nights, thought we'd touch base again. I know Shahan is very keen to talk about the Roos draft haul.
Hey, Janica. I think from now on, I'll pronounce my name Shahan. Yeah. Because of Sheasel, obviously. Anyway, yeah, first pick was pick number three, so Harry Sheasel, so very close to my name. So look forward to people yelling out Sheez when he's at the ball. But yeah, three days of drafts came to an end today after the rookie draft, which we might touch on. But yeah, another draft year has come and gone, so. Yeah, it was exciting. Did you manage to watch it, and how'd you follow it? You guys didn't have any picks.
Yeah, I was following the picks, but I think our first pick was at 35-36, but definitely was following the first 10 to 15 picks. Congrats to Cal Toomey. I think you got the first 13 in a row, right? Broke his record, but might as well jump on straight to the Roos because you had two of the first four picks. And how did you find it?
Yeah, we're very exciting as I open up the Kangaroos website. So I think Sheasel, Wardlaw and Cooper Harvey went to the club today. So there's a little video which was pretty cool to watch of them greeting everyone. Clarko and Cunnington were there presenting the jumpers to Sheasel and Wardlaw on night one. Night two, I think the older players were home. So that was just done with the clubs. But yeah, after we made that trade, I think Sheasel was a lock. And I think realistically, Wardlaw was probably a lock as well. Toss up between Sardis and Wardlaw. In the end, yeah, went for the inside mid with a bit of an explosive streak compared to the more outside and fraction taller Sardis, who landed at Essendon. So yeah, Wardlaw was touted as sort of number one pick as well, along with Ashcroft, started the year. But a few hamstring injuries and the form of Ashcroft probably just made the gap a little bit, just widened the gap between the two midfield prospects. And Cadman's here, sort of came out of nowhere to be the number one pick. So congratulations to Cadman, a country boy. A lot of clubs apparently had Cadman rated 5 or 6. Do you think GWS made the right call to go for him?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest talking point because obviously with the Horn Francis trade, they went for number one pick and that was the talk for long. They were going for Cadman as the Jeremy Cameron replacement. So I think they've definitely gone for need instead of the best player available. And definitely I think they've been stung over the last 5-6 years with all these go-home players, and we even saw in the trade period how many players wanted to go home. So I think they definitely filled a need there, and he's the best key forward in the draft. But yeah, whether he turns out to be better than Sheasel, Wardlaw, Sardis, even Ashcroft's obviously off limits to the Lions, but it'd be interesting to see. I don't think he's the best player in the draft,
but he does look like a gun. He sort of works hard, wins a lot of the ball. So hopefully they can sign him on to a long-term deal and they can keep him for the next decade. And hopefully there's no sort of tendencies to go home. They definitely won't be for Sheasel or Wardlaw being two Metro boys for North. Talked a little about Wardlaw there. And Sheasel, yeah, he's just electric, X-factor, classy half forward. Probably not the quickest player, so. Whereas Wardlaw and Sardis have got that burst speed. I think Sheasel relies more on his sort of smarts to use the footy, set up goals and kick goals. So he kicked on with 50 goals. He looks a gun. And he models himself a bit on Pendlebury when he goes into the midfield, which he's done a couple of times this year. But also a bit of Connor Rosie as well. So he's mentioned him. I think Rosie's a bit quicker, but. Yeah, if he can turn out to be that type of player, I think we've got a good one. And he's also a Jewish kid, so it's good to represent his ethnicity, I suppose. Yeah, so he's got Goldie there as well, who's half Jewish, I suppose. So, no, they both seem like great kids. And yeah, I was going to say something, but it might be a bit offensive, so I won't say it. Something about finishing school, but that's all right.
So I guess the other part of the Horn Francis mega trade was the Roos shifting down. I think the talk at the time was Rawlings had, I think, three mids around the same mark and obviously moved down confident that you'd get two of them. So I guess she's a Wardlaw, Cadman, Sardis. Were you happy with the two you picked?
Yeah, I think so. I think at the time I was thinking maybe Sardis and Wardlaw might be good because they're like teammates and couple them up and they offer something a bit different. But yeah, Sheezel's probably something we lack as well, like a natural. I like Curtis, who's shown a bit, and Zerha's pretty good as a medium. But yeah, Sheezel's ability and I think character as well. They seem like they're really genuine kids and want to get the best out of themselves as well. So I know he likes ice baths for a fact. He's mentioned that on a podcast I was listening to. So that's always good. but yeah, very excited. And then next pick was pick 23, which got pushed out to 26. So we traded our future second round pick to get this. So I think our future second will probably end up around about pick 20 to 24. So yeah, so we got Braden George, who did his ACL a few months ago. So he didn't play a lot of games, but the ones he did play, I think he showed that he could have been a top 10 talent, according to reports. Yeah, so another medium, powerful, half forward who can kick bags when he gets on fire. He just apparently struggles finding a lot of the footy, so maybe he needs to work on his tank and positioning. But, yeah, sort of sounds like he's that Zerha Dugowie sort of bullocking X-factor sort of forward. So, yeah, these Schuessel, George, and George. There's two Georges, but, yeah, Braden George get going. Might be an exciting half-forward line for the Kangaroos. But he won't be playing next year, so.
Yeah. How about Cooper Harvey, the son of games record holder still, I think, Brent?
Yeah, I don't know if that record will be broken, but yeah, even if he plays half the amount of games, that'd be pretty amazing for pick 56. So, yes, he had a couple of arm injuries, so he didn't get to play a lot, but when he did for the Northern Knights, I think he was more than held his own. Played for the Vic Metro team in the last game and he kicked the winning goal. So he's pretty good above his head for his size, 180 centimetre midfield forward. So I think the club sees him more as a half forward. I don't know how quick he is. I don't think he's as quick as his dad, but yeah, so he's got a couple of years sort of to prove himself and see if he can play league footy. I don't know if he will play much next year, but I didn't think Jackson Archer would play this year, and he did. So, yeah, so four kids in the national draft. We had to pick one in the rookie draft as well.
So who did you guys select with, yeah, the pick one there?
Another guy from the Oakley Chargers, so George Wardlaw's teammate, Blake Drury. So he's a 176-centimetre forward mid. So I think... yeah, he's got leadership qualities as well. So, and he uses the ball pretty efficiently. So I read that Tigers were keen on him as well. So we, yeah, were able to take him with our first pick. And I'm pretty glad we used our first pick on a youngster because the talk was that we're going to get experienced players. But I'm glad, yeah, Brady Rawlings. He also mentioned if someone that slips from the national draft, like an 18-year-old that we rate, we can pick him up. So, and that's what we've done. So I know we need key forwards and taller players, but yeah, if there aren't any, yeah, there aren't any, so that we rate. So yeah, happy we got them, and then we were able to fill the other spots with experience.
And so Daniel Howe from the Hawks, he reunites with Clarko at the Roos. Must have coached him for
he would have coached him for most of his, he's played almost 100 games, so he must have coached him for like at least 90, 85, 90 of those. So Yeah, he's a tall midfielder. So I think he plays a bit of everywhere. So don't know too much about him, but every time, I mean, the Hawks generally have pretty good players. So I reckon, yeah, he can contribute, provide some leadership. And then we picked a ruckman as well, Hamish Free from South Fremantle, who's 24, probably just to play VFL mostly, a bigger body to help guide those young mids. And Kane Turner, we relisted. The only thing I'm a little bit disappointed about is that we got the two extra rookie picks from the AFL. We didn't move any senior players or players from the senior list onto the rookie list and try to pick up another player in that 40 to 50 range. Because I know some players that were once touted to be pretty good picks slipped a lot. Like, I think you guys got one in Tom Scully. So players like that, we could have, like, used that opportunity to, move, like, a Josh Marnie or, like, a Spicer, someone, or Hugh Greenwood maybe again, into that rookie spot, not draft Turner or Howe, and then pick up another kid. Like, bring in 5 18-year-olds and not 4 in the national draft. But, we'll see. We'll see, anyway.
Yeah, I think you might touch on this with the best 22 later, but I guess the key forward need, would you have liked to have selected key forward to support Larky and Zerha, or do you think you've got that on your list already?
That's an interesting question, because if we draft a key forward, like, say, Scully, he's going to take maybe 3-4 years to, like, be ready to compete. Unless they're, like, at the very top, like a Cadman, who can come in and, like, play maybe not to the best of their ability, but develop relatively quickly. Like, even Logan McDonald was, like, a high pick, and he's shown glimpses, But this year was his second year. Next year is his third year in the system. Yeah, third year in the system next year. And, yeah, he could take the step next year. So that's 3 years he's taken. So, I mean, we do have time, but Larky's like 23 or 24. So Larky will be 27, 28 by the time the key forward we pick now gets going. So maybe we're thinking about doing what Melbourne did and getting the best available and then trading in 3-4 years when we're ready to, like, contend for top four and get that Ben Brown for cheaply, or like a Tom Lynch type as a free agent. So I reckon maybe that model might work. Like, we got Griffin Loeb, similar to that. So would you make more sense?
Comden is the guy? Because there's big raps on him, I guess.
Comden, I think.
Comden, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a tricky name to say. Yeah, he's... he's been injured, so and it was sort of a mid-draft pick as well. So strike rate with those mid-picks, sometimes hit and miss. So, there's a lot resting on his shoulders. And he moves really well for, like, a tall guy. But he's played 2 games. I think Cal Coleman-Jones might be the one that would have to step up and, yeah, really develop, because he's in that right age bracket to really help Larky, because... Yeah, I think he's been in the system for like 3-5 years now, maybe 5 years. Rather than getting a raw key forward. I guess that's all I've got to talk about for North. We'll do like the best 22 later, but maybe we'll talk about Port after this.
We'll move on to Port's draft haul. So bit of a quiet day. I think first pick was at 36. So obviously with the Horn Francis and Rioli trade claim, I think pick 7 first rounders in the fast forward draft. So obviously this draft was a quieter one. Definitely went for needs. So Tom McCollum is a Tassie Devils key defender, 192 centimetres, good intercept mark, and good speed. So,
You guys love an undersized key defender, don't you?
I think definitely our weakness is, I think Jeff Parker is the recruiting manager, and he mentioned picking him because he can play on the slender types like Hipwood and Tom Lynch, but he's 192 centimetres. So unless he has a growth spurt, he's probably, I think Jake Bassini we've got on our list too, and he's about the same height. But yeah, I don't think they're that big, tall defender, not at pick 36 anyway.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can, I wouldn't say he'd get a game this year, but maybe the next one or 2 years he can get a game.
Yeah. Cal Toomey actually had him coming to us with our second round pick. So apparently we had shown interest in him. So he was definitely in the mix for us. But yeah, he's very athletic. So I think he is that type that can jump and spoil the big key forwards, even though he doesn't have the height. There were a few like key defenders that height, even like Josh Weddle, who the Hawks traded up to, pretty much sacrificed next year's second round pick to get, and he was only the same height. And Gruski, I think, he's another undersized key position player. So yeah, a few of them went, and there must be something about, like, haven't watched a lot of underage footy this year, but must be a good player to have. He's sort of semi-bolted because not too many Tasmanians get picked, but Tom McCollum, if he was in the mix for our pick 26, then to get him 10 picks later is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he was the best player against the Vic Metro for the Devils, and Vic Metro, I think, have all the guns too, which Roos picked up.
When you say you guys drafted for needs, it's sort of like long term needs, right? Not like next year.
Not this year, no. Or next year, sorry. I don't think any of the three players will get a game this season unless something horrendously goes wrong. To pick 53 was Tom Mescully. No relation to Tom Scully. I think the number one pick maybe 10 years ago now.
Imagine naming your kids Tom and Thomas. That would be pretty confusing. But, not the team. This is a tall forward, like very tall forward, isn't it?
Yeah, 203 centimetres. So you can probably say he should be playing some ruck as well, not just key forward. I think he was rated pretty highly early on, and I heard his name a fair bit, but then he dropped off. Only played one game for SA.
Yeah, he was kicking a lot of bags in the, I think, under-18s.
Yeah, 15, 14 games, yeah.
Yeah, and then he sort of dropped off. Not sure what happened. He played in, like, that Collingwood game with the All-Australian team, and he didn't do that well in that game. To be kicking that many bags, he's definitely got potential. So probably the local factor probably helped as well. So, you guys picked him?
Yeah, I think definitely a developmental prospect. And pick 59, which I think the last live pick of the draft was Carl Marshall, so key defender from South Australia. He is 201 centimetres, so he does feel that height requirement.
Any relation to Todd?
No, I don't think so. Both SA boy. No. Todd's a New South Wales kid, but
yeah.
No relation, but I think running vertical jump was first at the South Australian draft combine. 84 centimetres, probably has a bit to grow before he can play a game. And
84 kilos, you mean?
84 kilos, what do I say? 84
centimetres.
That'd be pretty short. And then the rookie draft, NGA prospect Nathan Barkler. And rookie draft, we relisted Dylan Williams. It was a first-round pick a while back, but hasn't really cut it at AFL level. So hopefully he makes the most of his second chance.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. So, yeah, like we said before, your work was done in trade period. I think you guys traded up to get one of those picks. Maybe not. Maybe that was another thing. Should we touch on all the clubs? Maybe go through just one player on each. We'll start with Adelaide. They drafted a father and son. So Adelaide, they don't get that lucky with father sons or anything. So Max Michelini, I think.
Yeah, I think it's linked to a few of the sample clubs. I think if they play, I think it's 100 games for certain sample clubs they get in. But yeah, they haven't had many. But
yeah, how does Sydney. It work? So do you guys get rights to like some of the sample clubs?
Yeah. So I think we've had a few father sons from like the Burgoynes and Meade, but yeah, Adelaide don't seem to have any so far from, you know, Crows players.
Hopefully, but yeah. Sydney,
Sydney bid on him as well. I think they bid on a few players, so and they definitely made clubs pay a bit more than they probably wanted to.
So yeah, they reckon he's a Dane Rampy type. Brisbane Lions, they had the two top 12 picks in the end.
Yeah, so Will Ashcroft pick two is rated number one in the draft, a bit like Nick Dacos, probably a bargain at not to get him at pick one, and Jasper Fletcher pick 12. I think they probably paid a bit more than they wanted to there, and the Bulldogs matched that bid. So combined with, you know, Gunston, I think Connor McKenna, Josh Dunkley, they've probably had the best drafted rookie draft and trade period out of any club.
Yeah, especially if those two kids play, because they're going to be earning like bottom dollar. And that's what you need. So you need these kids to be like best 22 players and offer something. And then you can get bang for buck. And I reckon they should be premiership favourites really next year.
Based on the talent, 100%.
Carlton, I reckon Ollie Hollins can probably contribute in his first year because he's got the tank. I think he's the best endurance athlete. And so is Jackson Binns. I think they're both really good runners. So I actually like their draft haul. They've done really well. Targeted run. And also Harry Lemmy was also touted as a top 5 pick last year from SA. So he's drifted out to pick 47.
Yeah, Collingwood to pick 19. Ed Allen is the son of ex-Frio player Ben. So he seems to be, yeah, they're comparing him, or Derek Heine, anyway, to Nick Haynes. So yeah, if he can develop into that, so it's probably a steal at pick 19.
Yeah, it's really quick. He's blitzed the combine, and Jacob Ryan sounds like a pretty good character. So he'll be a cult figure. Essendon, the Davey twins, I suppose. They're probably, I think Jaden was injured, back-to-back knee injuries, but Owen Davey drifted out a bit. A lot of people thought he'd go a lot higher. So hopefully they can offer them something, because I think Essendon, they need a lot of talent.
So that's surely got to be the first time ever, right, to get two father sons in the same draft?
Two twins, you mean?
Yeah, two twins, yeah. It's two, yeah.
Yeah. Has to be, right? Two twins.
I think even brothers to the same clubs. I think there was the Brayshaw to Frio, and then the other Brayshaw went to West Coast, but not to the same club, obviously. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the Ben King, I mean, Ben and Max went to different clubs, and Mackay, they went to different clubs. He had the kids really young, didn't he? Because he only feel like he retired.
Yeah, exactly.
Long. Yeah. What about Frio? They had a pretty shit draft hand, like similar to you guys.
Started at 33. I think Corey Wagner too, 57. I think he's on his third AFL club. So, hopefully makes the most of his third chance.
Yeah, started at the Roos. I think he was a small forward for us, but now he's a backman. Geelong, they were, yeah. Well, Jai Clark was always touted to go there. The pick they got for taking Bose.
Yeah, so they've got Bose and Jai Clark. So probably two first rounders just with the Gold Coast salary dump. So they just get stronger, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit unfair. I think it comes down to good management. But the AFL probably needs to tweak the rules a bit so they can't do what they have. If they were able to smooth Bose's salary, then that shouldn't be allowed. And you should have to pay 800,000 next year and 800,000 the year after, and not be able to go 600, whatever, and do that. Yeah. So, a little bit of fixing up for the AFL to do. Not much for the Gold Coast, Humphrey. A little bit of a mid-season bolter as well. So, Seal cover Rankin's position, I suppose.
Yeah, it seems to have good leadership potential too. So, yeah, that was the only draft pick for them, but. Yeah, I think they've got enough youngsters where they don't need to get four or five draft picks every year.
Yeah, and the Giants, I reckon Darcy Jones might be a bit of a bargain. So he broke the agility test as well. So, 175, so it's a small forward. But,
I think they need one after Bobby Hill departed the club.
And Hawthorn had a couple of early picks with the regeneration. To Cameron McKenzie was pick 7.
Yeah, so he was, I think he was an NGA, but with the new rules, you can't pick them up. So, yeah, St. Gilda got a couple of kids last year, so I think that's, yeah, fair enough. And, yeah, Josh Weddle, Alex Rance type, apparently. So let's hope he plays some good footy next year because he's a Kangaroo supporter.
Henry Husway, a pick 2, did he fall a bit? I heard his name talked about a fair bit during the year anyway.
Yeah, he was always, I think Cal Toomey always had him around that in the teens in his form guides. Yeah, I guess sometimes these really tall players who aren't super physical or competitive, like a Jared Brander, you're like 100, you're key position height, but you can play, but you only can play as a midfielder. So they're a little bit boom or bust. Yeah, so I think if you're going to be 195 centimeters, you need to have a pretty dominant one wood, whether it's speed or like Patrick Cripps, like contested ball winning ability. So yeah, we'll see what happens. They're a little bit of a risky Titan.
Yeah, and Melbourne picked up Matthew Jefferson at pick 15, a key forward. Did kick a 7 goal versus Western Australia, so maybe a bit of a steal there to add to their key forward.
Yeah, looking for life after Ben Brown because I think he needs to put on a bit of weight. We talked about North already, Port as well, to Richmond. They had a worse time than you guys.
Yeah, started pick 49 with the Hopper and Taranto additions. I definitely don't know much about Carter Smith or Steely Green.
I heard some of the podcasts mentioned Caleb Smith as a dashing half back who uses the ball really well. So yeah, maybe he's that sort of, is it Liam Baker, that sort of type of player. But yeah, Richmond, they're in it to win it with Hopper and Taranto. So yeah, not too much action there. I think St Kilda had a really good draft actually.
Pick 10, especially Matthias Philippou, who's probably the best SA player there. Was, yeah, not surprised. Maybe I was surprised he dropped to pick 10.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good draft for Port if you had held on to your draft picks. Because I know some of your fans like James Van Ness as a key defender. I think a lot of Port fans rated him, maybe because he's like a genuine key position height. So. And Ollie Hodney's looked a bit as well, I think. He sounds like that Sydney player, Goulden, that sort of shorter, high energy, good kick. So, Ollie Hodden. So, and Isaac Keeler as well, another South Australian. A couple of South Australian boys there. Keeler was an interesting one because he was tied just Adelaide, but they overlooked him. And he was touted as a Paddy Ryder type.
Draft and then Sydney. So apart from beating on every other team's player, I think they stole Cooper Vick, not stole, but Cooper Vickery was a NGA prospect who they took with pick 27. So according to the new rules, they didn't get him.
Yeah, he was tied to Hawthorn, but they picked him. I saw Kinnear Beatson's interview at AFL.com and he was a bit angry or he didn't seem that happy. Maybe he was just being like a, what do you call it? Maybe he's joking around, but
I think that's his what's the word? Stick. Because I've heard him in a few interviews.
I think you're right. Because Sarah Ollie, who was interviewing him since he two-faced, because she describes Cooper Vickery as a bolter, and then he was like, bolter? In whose eyes is he a bolter? We've always had him rated highly. So now Sydney always nail these late picks, so they'll probably be an all Australian. And premiership player in a few years, Cooper Vickery.
And so West Coast, they obviously dropped down and they picked, I think, the first two, pick 9 and pick 14, Ginby and Hewitt, were both WA kids, which I think they were always going to select with their first two picks.
Yeah, I mean, they say that publicly. They don't care. They'll back their system into, and they have shown they can select Campbell Chesser with Victorian kids. But, yeah, they'll be wrapped to get Jindy and Hewitt. I really like the look of Hewitt. He looks really classy. Sort of reminds me of Daniel Wells a bit when I watch him. So, yeah, I would have loved it. Yes, he would slip to us, but yeah, there's a little bit of that dash and good ball use. So, looking forward to watch Hewitt play, and Kobe Begiel, yeah, another quick Victorian country kid. So,
and Harry Bunn is the SA. I think he was rated the number one key ruck as well. So, hopefully, Nat replacement in a few years' time.
Yeah, they do have a couple of other young Rockmen, but maybe they're sort of maybe not as good as they thought. So, yeah, Harry Barnett, rucks tend to slip, so it's just another case of that.
And to finish off Dog, so they got Jed Buslinger with pick 13.
I think it's Bus, like, yeah, Buslinger.
Yeah, he was the best kid back in the draft, wasn't he?
He was what?
Best key back, or number one rated.
Yeah, correct, yeah. And he had a shoulder reconstruction midway through, so didn't see much of him. But, yeah, I guess they don't really have a key back, do they? I mean, Alex Keith is towards the end. Liam Jones is, like, 32 or something.
Yeah.
But,
Darcy as well, but he's only in his second year. You don't put too much.
So they got Jamara, Norton. So their tools are almost, like, yeah, top class. Harvey Gallagher is the other one. So he's a 19-year-old, so a little bit older. But, yeah, he played half back and he kicked like 3 goals or something in one of the NAB League games. So he sounds like a pretty good player as well. So, yeah, I think all clubs optimistic. So end of the day, 60 players, 70 if you include the rookie draft, get drafted. Maybe half of them might get delisted in 4 years, and yeah, 20 of them might become regular AFL players. So that's the reality, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few busts, but yeah, there'll probably be a few players in the 30s and 40s that turn out to be, you know, 100, 200 game players. So you'll have to wait and see. I think definitely as a Roos supporter, definitely should be wrapped with that. Two of the best mids. And Sardis, not Sardis, but Sheagle's probably forward slash mid too, right? He can finish as well.
Oh, he's got a massive tank. He's got a really good endurance. So the times he's been pushed into the midfield, he was able to get like 35 and 37 possessions, I think, for Sandringham. So, but he does his damage up forward. So yeah, it's good to have that flexibility. And all the kids that didn't get drafted, yeah. So hopefully they can sort of work on their football and get an opportunity in the future, whether it's through VFL or anything else.
There's always the mid-season. Yeah. So when there's a supplemental period, so there's definitely more ways to get on a list these days.
Exactly. Like, you see the videos of the families, and when they get picked, everyone's celebrating and stuff. But you think of, oh, what about the guys that didn't get picked up, who had family over and stuff watching and recording, but their name doesn't get called out. So sort of feel for them. But, yeah, I'm sure they're still all, if they were in contention, they would have been really good footy players. So, yeah, there's always more pathways, right? Like, I think Joe Richards for Hawthorn, he was like a 23-year-old, so he got drafted. But, yeah, it's another year done. So, yeah, looking forward to next year's, crop.
Yeah, 100%. So, hopefully a better season for both our teams next season as well.
And I wouldn't be disappointed if we have picks 3 and 4 again next year.
Thanks, because that's tied to us. So.
We'll see how we go. All right, I think that pretty much wraps us up. We might do a our best 22.
Oh, you want to do that next time, or you want to do it?
Maybe we'll do it next time, because
we're at 40 minutes.
40 minutes, yeah. And
it might change after the preseason anyway.
Yeah. You want to just wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
All good, guys. We'll catch you next time, and hopefully a better 2023 for both of our clubs.
See ya.